Hello everybody, it's Marie here. I hope you've all had a really good post-Easter week, despite the surprising snow and hail and cold winds. It's also been good, there's been some lovely sunshine too. Today I'm going to speak to you about service. When I mentioned to Neil that I was going to be speaking about service, he got the wrong idea and thought I'd be genning up on oil and filter changes. Sorry to disappoint you, Neil, it's not that type of service. The word service does have many shades of meaning, including servanthood, repairing, maintaining, providing, helping, regularity, and being done for the benefit of others. So often, especially in the past, we've thought about Sunday services, and I'd never really thought about that word before, but actually Sunday meetings are called services because they gave us an opportunity to serve each other. But service isn't a Sunday-only practice. We can cultivate it to be part of our everyday and every part of our lives. Jesus shows us how to serve others, and this passage from Philippians tells us why we should do it. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, and it's titled Imitating Christ's Humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, service is a huge topic and I haven't got it fully sorted by any means. So I'm not speaking as any type of expert, just as someone who's trying to cultivate this practice. I'm heartened that God knows us deeply and intimately. He knows our foibles, our strengths and our struggles and still loves us. Just look at Simon Peter. He got it wrong at times and at other times got it right, but is now the rock on which our church is built. And that's encouraging for us all. Here are some of the thoughts that have been going round my head and heart in recent weeks. I hope you find them thought-provoking. The first one was, should our involvement in service be inspired by our freedom to choose rather than us being obliged to do things? Service is not a checklist of things to do. Shouldn't our service be driven by love, Jesus's love of us? Us of him and our Christ-inspired love of others, powered by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And Jesus told us that the most important things to do are loving God and then loving our neighbours as ourselves. Love should shine out of us like a light, and through our actions others can see Jesus. Our acts of service are part of our worship to God too. Remember the words of Servant King that include to live our lives as a daily offering of worship to our Servant King. Another thought that's come to my mind is that we're called to serve others as Jesus has served us and to do things with and for others as an outpouring of our love for Jesus. And service is going beyond ourselves and our needs. Just looking at the Easter story, we see the way that Jesus selflessly served us all in dying for our sins, and also his humility in his acts with those around him. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus showed us how to be with others, to feed them, eat with them, go to where they were, welcome them when they came to him, walk with them, heal them, listen to them, advise them, teach them, pray for them, celebrate with them, bless them, encourage them. And he served everyone, whether they were children, old, sick, healthy, Jews, Gentiles, strangers or friends. He provided what each person needed at that time. And he didn't only serve the deserving poor. We can learn from all those examples he gave us. Another thing is that his acts of service weren't always appreciated, and he was sometimes criticised for them. So we shouldn't become disheartened by the reactions of others. Romans chapter 15 verse 2 says, each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. And we should also be willing to be spontaneous. Luke chapter 12 says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Our acts of service can be small or large, but should be what is needed by the receiver. Often the most overlooked and least celebrated acts of service are the most important and valued. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29 says, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We know that Jesus' yoke is easy, and that we can be his apprentices by following what he did. And part of that was that he wasn't always on the go, being busy physically doing things for others all the time. He knew the vital importance of being linked in with God through prayer, quietness and solitude, often just before he did miraculous services to others. Prayer and service are linked together. Service as a spiritual practice can't stand alone from all the other things that we do because we know that God loves us. And I suppose that what makes the service of a follower of Christ different from the service of others, even though on the surface the services can look the same. True service needs to involve us, others and God. Now, an ongoing dilemma for me is knowing how to accept thanks and praise for acts of service. It is lovely to be thanked, but I know it can lead to feelings of pride and actually gaining value from that praise and thanks of others. How often do we do things because we know it will make us look good? I think we need to be careful about this and examine our own motivations. Another thing to try is that when we are praised, as we will be, to just bounce that praise back up to God. I think that's an idea from Joyce Meyer. I also find myself thinking about whether allowing others to know about what we've been doing is a sort of bragging, or is it just sharing God's goodness to us all? How much should our acts of service stay hidden? Jesus often told those who he had healed not to tell anyone about what had happened. Should we keep all our acts to ourselves as we know that God has seen them? And through that, become humble. Humility is a byproduct of true service. Another point is that busyness does not necessarily equal a better service. I know that there have been times when I'm serving where I've been so on the go that I've just felt exhausted and laid low by it. At other times, service has been a blessing to me, usually when I haven't been quite so busy, almost certainly when I've involved God more in it. I think of the story of Mary and Martha. Spending time with Jesus is the key. We can say no. We are allowed to say no, as another part of the body can say yes to that act. We're not omnipresent, but God is. Again, there aren't hard and fast rules about what to do and what not to do, but let yourselves be inspired by the Holy Spirit, by his rhythms and his knowledge of the bigger picture of what's going on. We're all called to be involved in service as part of the body of Christ, each having a part to play, and our roles changing as we move through our earthly lives. Co-working with God, for we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think the pandemic has helped us all become both givers and receivers of acts of service. Just think of all the phone calls, chats, notes, small gifts, prayers, shared resources that we've all given and received over the past 13 months. These have all been wonderful acts of service, and not just within our church family, but to all those we've been in contact with. I do so hope that we won't lose sight of this as we move out of lockdown restrictions. True service is indiscriminate. It's a lifestyle. It springs spontaneously to meet human needs. And true service builds community. And we know that some acts of service are easier than others. Some are short and some are long term. Thankfully, we know that God equips us for the acts that we're called to do. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. So, Neil has good balance. So thankfully it's him, not me, who's been called to reposition Ariel's tiles and chimney cowls on people's roofs. We're equipped for the services we are called to do. And also remember, we may not be the ones who see the results of our service. We may never know the impact on others of our acts, but that shouldn't stop us doing them. So, here's a few bullet points of things to consider. All can and should be involved in service. We all have different parts to play. Service should happen 7 days a week. Service should be fueled by love. We should look out for the opportunities that God sends to serve our way. The way we live our lives is part of our service. What we buy, how we travel, how we spend our free time. We should be humble and watch out for pride and self-righteousness and be mindful of our motivations. I think it's probably easier to serve in a group. I think that certainly helps our humility. We are called to serve all, and others are called to serve us. And we need to be in balance. We can't serve if we're running on empty. We need to keep filling up through communicating with God and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to finish with our morning liturgy, which simply sums up our reliance on God and the ways we can be servants of him. Lord God, whilst we slept, you have created a new day. We welcome you this day, choosing to trust in all its potential, knowing you created us for loving relationships. Today we choose hope, knowing the day can hold love, kindness, forgiveness and justice. Today we choose life in all its fullness and make room for the unexpected, welcoming you in the ordinary and hidden moments. We pray for those whose day will be difficult. May we listen, may we support, may we love. Help us to be fully present to this day, to embrace the possibilities, to respond graciously to disappointment and hold compassionately all those we encounter. Lord, we welcome you this day. Amen.